What is up, Duval natives? Actually, not all of you are Duval natives. Hey, Duval Till We Die shirt from Mike over there. I guess we do have listeners from outside of Jacksonville, so welcome, Duval supporters, because if you listen to our podcast, you probably support the Jaguars. And so I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm trying to think of a different opener. That was pretty lame. It is what it is. We're on episode 117.
Well, to be fair, I didn't think it was lame, but if you think it's lame, it kind of describes our sports team's seasons. So it's been rough.
Touche. Episode 117 of Dimes on Duval, presented by Nerdy Nuts. He's Mike Yashi. I am Keith Manzi. Skyler is out this evening, so it'll be just us two recording. Yes, you did mention the Orlando Magic are not bad. I am going to do a special podcast. For those of you that don't know, there's technically a second podcast that is under the Dimes on Duval umbrella, which is called Manzi's Magic, where I talk about the Orlando Magic. And I will record that, I don't know, whenever I have time, because I was supposed to do a preseason episode. I never did. So if you like the NBA, we'll talk about it on that.
I would say, to be fair, we haven't, we didn't even do our NBA preview this year because we've been so busy, all of us.
Oh, we did do our NBA finals picks, which I already, looking back, feel disgusting about.
I feel great about mine.
Yeah. Yeah, yours is fine. I shouldn't have picked the Nuggets.
Yeah, they look bad.
I was under false pretenses being told that Russ was stretching the floor a lot better. But then Jokic goes out and he hits like 7 threes last night, and they still lose. And I think they only have one win so far this season. So,
yeah, Jamal Murray looks low, but yeah. We're not a Nuggets podcast. We are, unfortunately, yes, a Jaguars podcast, a Knowles podcast, and a Gators podcast. Yeah, we'll talk about NBA later on.
Well, let's jump into that. You know, we're going to switch things up since Skyler's not here. Let's just get the Gators out of the way. I just have one question for you, Mike. The Florida Gators are plus 16.5. Can they cover?
Yes.
I think
can
so.
Can they cover? Yes. Will they? No.
I think they will. I think so. We've seen good Georgia, which is beating the crap out of Texas and beating the crap out of Auburn. But we've also seen bad Georgia with letting Mississippi State score 31 points on them and beating Kentucky by 1 point. You know, there's been a lot of slow starts for this Georgia team so far this season. I think they're playing down to their opponents a lot. And Florida's on the uprise, unlike some of those other teams I mentioned. I think that Florida it'll probably one of those where at half, it'll be a low score and Florida will still be in the game. And then the second half, Georgia will pull away, because that just seems to be the trend for me. I don't know. That's my thoughts on it. But they'll only win by, say, like 14. It'll be like 31-21 or something. I don't know. Something like that. Am I crazy?
I think you might be a little crazy there.
Okay.
I think we haven't seen Georgia's best. We really haven't. We saw it 2 weeks ago against Texas, and they looked damn good in that game, and they kind of outed Texas a little bit, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like they exposed Texas. But Georgia, their one bad game, to be fair, was against Alabama, in my opinion. They did not show up in the first half against Alabama.
No.
So, terrible. And that was a road game. This is a neutral site. There'll be 50-50 more Georgia, I think, than Florida fans. I do believe that Georgia will pull away. It could be close in the first quarter. I just think Georgia, coming off a bye week, they're going to be well-rested. They're going to be ready to go. I think they got a tough schedule ahead of them. So this is either do or die for Georgia. They cannot afford a trip up or a slow start here.
They're in
for a rude awakening against Ole Miss and or Tennessee in 2 weeks or next week. So I think this is the first of a pivotal stretch for Georgia. As much as it's hard to say that Georgia has a pivotal stretch in their season, this is key. If they start off strong against Florida, they're looking like national championship contenders. But if they struggle against Florida, then we'll see if they can. I just wonder if – I think Florida fans are hoping that this game is a close game going into the fourth quarter, which from what I'm understanding, it makes it seem like you believe that. Mm-hmm. But I personally don't. I think it'll be over by midway through the third quarter. If I really can see it being over by half.
Well, I just geez, don't. You were saying you could see it over by the end of the first quarter. You said it was getting
No. I don't think first quarter everyone gets the rust out, but it would not surprise me if Florida Georgia's up 21-0 after one. I just don't think Florida's a good team, and that's due to coaching. And
I was gonna say, yeah, it's all coaching. I mean, they got the
Kirby Smart is up here, Napier is down here, and Kirby Smart is ready to get those dogs ready to go. So just make sure they're not driving down here.
Well, I'll say, since our team is so bad, I think I'm a Tennessee fan for the rest of the season, just because I like what they've done. I don't think they're an elite team. I don't think they'll go to the national championship game, but I just like rooting for them. I love their new uniforms that they just released. I don't know if you saw the video, but they've got like the dark, it's like all black uniforms with the orange accents. Looks pretty clean in my opinion. Not a huge fan of black uniforms as much as I used to be, but they do look very nice. But speaking of our bad team, yeah, Florida State. I was not able to watch a single down of this game.
Count your blessings. You were not able to watch the game.
Miami, from what I heard, and you can correct me on this in a second, but from what I heard, didn't look stellar, didn't look bad. It was just kind of like, okay, well, they scored 36 points, but it's Florida State. They're so bad. Florida State scores 14 with, I'm pretty sure, like they score with like 10 seconds left in the game or something like that to give us 14.
But, so, yes. So, first quarter, it was 7-0. Florida State kept it close, but it really didn't feel close to me. Florida State's receivers stink. Our leading rusher was Luke Kromenhoek on a bizarre run play that ended up him getting like 42 yards on a run, which is kind of weird. He like went to the left and just almost fell. He almost dropped a snap. It was like a weird play. He ended up 42 yards. We ended up scoring a touchdown that drive.
Whatever. I did see that. That was cool.
It was. I watched the whole game and I kind of am like, I don't know what's wrong with this team. We keep saying this over and over again. It is what it is. It's a lost season. It's clearly we may not win more than one game this year. We may lose to – we projected to lose to North Carolina. We're underdogs against them, against Mack Brown, who has never beaten his alma mater. Notre Dame is a 21-point favorite currently. Charleston Southern, we don't know what the spread is, but I would not be surprised if Charleston Southern beats us. I don't think that spreads out. Florida might beat us. They're definitely going to be probably favored by two touchdowns against us. I'm getting frustrated with this team and obviously this coaching staff, and I can see multiple coaches being let go postseason. Mm-hmm. In the offseason. I just don't know where it'll start and where it'll end. I personally don't believe Mike Norvell will be fired. I know people are talking about it. I saw some fake posts about how he's leading. He's the number one coach in odds to be fired. That's not a thing. Stop falling for fake accounts. Like, stop doing that. So, I don't know. I really don't know. We have not scored more than 21 points all year.
Yeah, that was going to be something I'd segue. Yeah, did not score more than 21 points. Have not scored over 16 inside the United States.
We haven't scored more than yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It is a very bad football team all around. Now, I just have a concern with Mike Norvell and his decision-making. And what I mean by that is he started Brock Lynn, fine. Then he switched to Kromenhoek. Then Kromenhoek scored a touchdown. Okay, keep him in the game. Kept him in the game until the fourth quarter, halfway through the fourth. He's like, I'm going to put Brock Lynn back in. Why?
Why?
And I guess he wanted – And I don't know if I got to listen to the press conference, but he stated that he believed that Brock was better for that situation. I guess he was trying to run out the clock. And I guess Kromenhoek has not had been in that experience before in that situation. So it is what it is. I personally think Kromenhoek should be starting the rest of the year. He looked good. He had some freshman mistakes, but that's expected in a road environment in Miami, which, yes, Miami fans, come on. You guys showed up, but congratulations. You only show up for the one game a year against Florida State. Now, let's see if you show up against the rest of the season. But I do believe that Kromenhoek should be the starter. Now, we'll see how many players stay after next year. In my opinion, I am getting closer. I mean, there's only four games left. Thank the Lord. We are almost done with this season. But, yeah, I don't know if North Carolina – if we beat North Carolina, I would be shocked. But also not surprised me because Mack Brown cannot get it done against Florida State. So – I just don't know.
You know, it's a season for record breaking. I mean, Duke beat us. They'd never beat us before. I will say, if we somehow lose to Charleston Southern, you saw me laughing a minute ago. I just wanted to click on that game. Charleston Southern is also 1-7. Their starting quarterback has 670 total passing yards on the season. I mean, obviously they rush the ball better than we do just because we're the worst rushing team in the entire league. Their only win is a win against Furman. But they've lost to, like, they lost 38-0 against Richmond. Every other game's been kind of sort of like Lindenwood. I don't even know what that is, and they've lost to them. So if we get that second win, I'll feel
we are so lucky. Florida State fans are lucky that Cal's kicker missed some kicks, because
oh yeah,
they should be 0-4 right now. 0-4. Mm-hmm. But
well, I guess, did see you were talking about
this is an unprecedented collapse.
Unprecedented collapse, indeed. You were talking about people staying, people leaving, and stuff like that. I don't know if you saw the Instagram post or Twitter post from Luke Kromenhoek's sister saying basically like he is locked in to stay. Yeah, it was a post.
I did not see that, you know, but that's good to hear.
Once loyal, but always loyal, and it was like a lock emoji or something like that. I was like, hey, okay, cool. I hope.
I'll believe that when it comes to December. Man. I don't care what anyone says in October or November. It's December that matters for me. If you stay, or honestly, in the spring too. So we'll see. I did not see that in the post. If you can set.
We going to start talking about Dylan McNamara and Trevor Jackson soon?
No, I think it's Kromenhoek 100% thrust of the way.
I just mean like for next season.
Oh, God. No, please no. But yeah, if you still have access to that post, send it to me because I want to see that.
Yeah, I got you.
FSU Twitter tweet about it. So. Then again, I haven't really been on much on Twitter today. So, but yeah, no, honestly, overall, the game kind of sucked. I was hyped that we scored a touchdown. I'm just glad we scored a touchdown. Offense looked competent, even though we got lucky with that one drive. But yeah, no, Florida State is a mess. It sucks. It is what it is. It's just sorrow. It's sadness over here in Jacksonville and in Tallahassee.
It is really sad. I really hope that, we can just erase this with an amazing magic season. I know I go back to the NBA, but I gotta lean on something to make me feel a little bit better about my sports fandoms. We did see the Sports Equinox, which was Monday. I don't know if you knew that it was called the Sports Equinox because every major sport was playing basically, and all the
which New York I teams realized,
lost, which was funny.
I didn't realize that it's only happened 31 times. I feel like it happens every year, but maybe it hasn't. And I thought it happened last year too, but I guess not.
I guess not. Yeah. Just kind of cool to see that kind of stuff happen and so much sports going on. We take it for granted when we're sitting in the dog days of summer, getting bored with maybe MLB and that's it. It gets really boring. But speaking of boring, well, actually, no, this game wasn't boring. The Jaguars game, Jaguars Packers, 30-27, your final score. You knock out the starting quarterback for the Packers, Jordan Love, who had a groin injury, which confused me because I thought it was his knee the whole time. But I can't remember if it was 44 or 41 bumped into him. He fell down and he was out the rest of the game. So you think with a backup quarterback, Jags are set, right? You just got to stop the Malik Willis, who stinks. Can't get it done. We lose and Brandon McManus is the one who sends us home, former Jag.
Of course he is. But going back to Jordan Love, well, I'll touch on that. But I can't believe that. I thought it was the same thing you said. I thought he re-aggravated his MCL the way he landed.
Yep.
But I thought it was that because it was a groin. I'm like, oh, that kind of makes more sense the way he was running after the fact. I'm like, huh, interesting. But, yeah, when you have a backup quarterback, and this goes back to, I'm just getting fed up with Ryan Nielsen. When you have a backup quarterback in, and you're expecting one type of play over and over and over and over again, why not load up the box? And if you have him beat you, if he beats you, okay, fine. You adjust. You can adjust at that point. But he is not showing that he can beat you. So run they're running the ball. So go at Josh Jacobs. Go at Emmanuel Wilson. Go at Malik Willis. Run them down. None of that.
None.
It pissed me off. And that's literally – one of my cousins literally said that is asinine defense. Like, asinine play calling. Like, how do you not go after their backup quarterback? Like, common sense. If he beats you, he beats you. Force him to beat you. So it pissed me off. And, of course, on the one play – that led to the game-winning kick. I don't know if you saw the where the two linebackers literally looked like so Foye and Ventrell. I think it was Foye and Ventrell. They looked like they just did a spinorama and they were just gone, and that caused the game-winning play, game-winning field goal. Pissed me off. I'm just this defense is irritating. And in the NFL, you have 27 points on offense. Your defense has got to come up with some stops. And they didn't. And that's literally what cost the Jaguars the game. And if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm fucking pissed.
I don't blame you, man. 21 for 32 with two tutties. Had an interception that I don't know if it's 100% his fault. You threw it in an area where the ball hog, Xavier McKinney, who has the most interceptions in the NFL this season. It is what it is. The fumble, that's a little more inexcusable. But to anyone that's sitting here putting this game on Trevor Lawrence as the sole reason that we lost, incorrect.
It's the defense, man. It's the defense and the – like, the defense is – it just pissed me off. Now, I will say, I have a problem with Doug Peterson and how he handled the postgame presser. I don't know if you've seen that clip where someone asked about how Trevor led the drive. I want to talk about that real quick because Trevor lost his three leading receivers – or three receivers in a game. He lost Brian Thomas for the game. He lost Christian Kirk for the game and out for the season. He lost Gabe Davis. So he's down to his number four receiver. And Tim Jones, no offense to him, he's a number four for a reason. Parker Washington. He's
number five, man. Parker Washington for me.
Yeah. Okay, Parker Washington, Tim Jones, and Evan Engram. Evan Engram is still consistent for him. Great.
And Brenton Strange.
And Brenton Strange, yes, correct. And to say – Doug was said, like, yeah, he did fine, but got to give the credits to the other guys, too. I'm like, yeah, you can say that, but, like, Trevor had to work with these guys with no practice reps. And, like, you got to give your young quarterback some – what am I looking for? But, like, I can't remember. Like, some – raise up his
boosted,
confidence.
Yeah, boost his ego a little. Confidence. It's self-esteem.
Like, come on. No wonder I'm truly thinking whenever Doug does get fired, because I don't think it's an if, it's now a when.
It's when.
I'm convinced in that. It's literally in 3 weeks. If we lose the next three games, he's gone. There will be reports coming out after how toxic Doug and Trevor's relationship was. And I just hope it doesn't break Trevor Lawrence. So that's what I'm thinking. But that the defense pissed me off, and Doug Peterson with some of his decision making pissed me off too. And like the comments post game.
Yeah. There's definitely a problem with all of that in the locker room. Head coach is being a ding-dong. Defense still just confusing. I'm pretty sure there was a drive where the Packers went five plays over like 60 yards, and Trayvon and Josh Allen both were not on the field for those five plays. How do you even scheme that? What sense does that make? The Packers' offensive line is decent. They're not that good. I don't even think they pressured Jordan Love. I don't think they did at all when he was in the game.
I mean, they got to him a few times, but it wasn't
let me see. I guess
sacks.
I can see QB hits. Okay, there was four QB hits, one sack with Hines, Allen, and Trayvon, and that was on Malik, which didn't even lose a yard. So whatever, you can call it a sack, but it didn't really do anything. The fact that Malik Willis went out there and just hummed with the offense is a telltale sign that their coaching is a lot better than ours. And hats off to Josh Jacobs. Had a hell of a run, had a hell of a game. Tank Bigsby, almost 100 yards, decent. Brian Thomas Jr., I will say with the receivers, yes, you did mention Christian Kirk, broken collarbone, out for the season. Hate to see that. Brian Thomas Jr. with a chest contusion, I think officially is what they said. Very confusing on Twitter when they're saying he's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. Actually, no, he's not. Let's wait until tomorrow. And then we heard today that it's just going to be he might play this Sunday against the Eagles. So Gabe Davis can just stay out the rest of the season. I really don't care. I'd rather see Parker Washington than Gabe Davis on the field just because Gabe Davis stinks. But it's gonna be a true next man up now with this offense. Trevor and BTJ have really built a connection. Will this injury slow him down or make him a little more hesitant? I'm not sure. With Kirk out, I think Tim Jones is more of the slot guy, so he'll probably be plugged in for Kirk. I don't know. I liked what I saw from those guys late in the game. And then I guess you're gonna have to elevate. You're gonna have to call the practice squad and get Austin Tremel probably. He's definitely a slot guy, so he can definitely come up. Former, I think he went to Rice, if I'm recalling correctly. I'd be really impressed if I remember that. But you know,
this I'm not doesn't looking fix that up,
anything.
So I'll
this
take your
doesn't
word
fix
for it.
This doesn't fix anything with the problem. The main problem is the Jaguars can't find a way to win a football game. And I don't think the Eagles are very good. They did just put a whooping on the Bengals, but I don't know if I see a way where we win this game. We're 2-6. This is the heart of the tough schedule that we talked about last week. I thought the Packers was going to be the one that we would win and couldn't get it done. So
27 points scored and you still lose. Like, I don't, this defense is really going to be a problem. And I cannot wait till 3 more weeks and then everyone will be gone. Doug will be gone. Hopefully Bulky will be gone. And I'm now seeing some recourse on Twitter again about how these picks maybe not as bad. These picks by Bulky have not been as bad. But like, I feel like that's not something you should change your mind about after 7 games of the season, 8 games of the season. Like, a lot of the pickups he's done, whether via draft or free agency, have been good, but also a lot have been very bad. You extended Roy Roberts and Harris last year, and then you trade them into halfway through the second season of the first season of the extension.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb management move. Second one, Mason Smith, your second round pick this year, inactive. What are we doing here in week 8 of the season?
I forgot about him.
Like, and I don't know if there's an issue between management and coaching, which there probably is. And if that's the case, just if I'm Shad, bye. Give him all pink slips. Done. I'm done with this. Start over. Because I know, I'm confident that this job will be a popular job if this is a fresh start with no Bulky stench.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you've got a young quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. You can develop him. You can help develop him. You've got a great receiver in Brian Thomas who can go even better. You've got a young corner in Tyson Campbell. You got 2 stud defensive ends in Josh Hines Allen and Trayvon Walker. Like, these are core pieces to your team.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a popular job come January, February. Like, it's going to be popular, I hope, if Bulky is gone. If Bulky's still here, we may have problems again.
I think the most important thing is help me here, Mike, what you think on this. Say we lose Eagles, Vikings, Lions, and we're sitting here at 2-9 then, and we fire Doug. Are we sure that Shad Khan is smart enough not to just jump on someone before the season ends? Like, just think about, like, oh yeah, this is the next guy, or
I don't think they'll do that just because they got to hire an interim coach. Now, he might be doing it in the background. I mean, maybe, but again, you got to go through the interview. I don't know how that's going to work.
Can you fire a head coach and the GM at the same time in the middle of a season?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People have done it all the time. I'm sure people have done it. I'm sure it's done. I mean, Bulky wasn't the GM at the time. Granted, they didn't fire mid-season. They fired end of season, but still.
Yeah, that's why.
They fired Caldwell and Bradley.
Bradley.
Was it Bradley? Yeah, Brad. No, who was the coach in 2020? Yeah, it was Bradley. No, it was Marone. I'm so stupid. It was Doug Marone. It was Marone and Caldwell.
The other Doug.
Yeah, the other Doug. Doug Marone and Caldwell were fired at the end of the year, and then Bulky was the interim, and he just weaseled his way into a promotion. So, I mean, this is going to be the same repetitive story over and over again until we get a win and actually show some damn progress week over week, but I don't think we will.
Can I name a positive or two?
Sure.
Walker Little looked very good again.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He looked good last week when, or 2 weeks ago when they played New England when Cam was ruled out. Like, he looked good. Like, he looked good 2 weeks ago.
I took that one with a grain of salt because I'm like, it's New England. You know, we should look good against him. But he looked good again on Sunday. And he's the one who pushed Trevor into the end zone for that touchdown.
Yeah. No, Walker Little looked good, but I just am concerned that it took a little too late for him to develop. But again, offensive linemen could develop later than others, but I don't know.
But also, you know, we signed Cam Robinson to a contract, and
well, he'll be. I think he's really close to getting traded after he cleared concussion protocol. I think he might be traded in the next week because the trade deadline is soon.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out. I'm not excited about that. And then the other one, of course, just because it's every week, is Logan Cook. That absolute gorgeous punting display.
That 70-yard, 80-yard punt was nice.
Yeah, he, you know, he gets a lot of in-game practice, which, ha ha ha, everyone always makes that joke when a punter's good on a bad team. But, hey, at least if we're a bad team, we have a good punter, and I'm very thankful for that.
No, for sure. I just looked up. The trade deadline is actually Tuesday at 4 p.m. So we will
this
know
Tuesday?
Next,
no, like coming
this
Tuesday?
upcoming this upcoming Tuesday, same day as the election. So yeah.
Wow.
So
yeah. November
yeah,
5th.
By 4 p.m. Eastern. So honestly, if we decide to record next week, we will know who's been traded, if anyone has been traded.
That's a good call. Well, just to go around the league or in the conference, I guess, since there was two breaking news today in our division. The Colts have officially benched Anthony Richardson to turn to Joe Flacco. I don't think that helps the Jaguars. I think we'd be better off playing Anthony Richardson. I think we can beat Anthony Richardson. As we already saw, Joe Flacco can beat us. 10 of 32 for 175 yards in Sunday's game against Houston. But I think the biggest thing everyone talked about is that he benched himself. Do you care about that, Mike? Like, if say, put it in Jaguars' shoes, Trevor Lawrence says, I got to come out for a play.
I think Anthony Richardson should be benched for that. That is ridiculous. You cannot. And
so like, if it's Trevor Lawrence, you say Trevor Lawrence should get in trouble?
Yeah, I don't care. You cannot. You're the starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You play every play. I don't care. Unless you are hurt, you do not come off the field. Simple as that. Like, you know, and I saw, what's his name? I think it was Damian Woody, whoever the offensive lineman. I think it was Damian Woody with Rex Ryan. Oh my God, they were laying into him because imagine your offensive linemen, the ones who actually get hit every play, they don't take a breather.
Yeah. Oops. Hang on.
What are we doing here?
I lost you for a second there. Okay, you're back. You're good.
No, like, that's an excuse. I think that's the franchise quarterback, and that's damning of the franchise quarterback, in my opinion. And I think he just hurt himself by saying that, oh, yeah, I was tired. Bro, just make up an injury.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't think you can make up an injury because then it's a NFL issue.
I think that's the big mistake he made is saying that. If he had said, you know, because on that hit before he came out, you can kind of see his knee buckled a little bit. You could have played that off and said, like, yeah, my knee didn't feel right. I just wanted to come to the sideline real quick. He didn't do that. He said I was tired, and that's a no-no. So I'm with you on that. I just wanted to get your opinion on that. And then on the other end,
no, I think that's very lacks leadership, in my opinion.
Yes.
And that is a huge question mark. And Richardson already stinks, and I think he's a bust. And I'm so glad the Colts drafted him because now they're going to be looking for another quarterback in probably 2 more years because they're kind of stuck with him now. They can't, unless it's that effing, just take quarterback next year. But yikes. So glad I'm not a Colts fan. I'm also so glad I'm not a Titans fan. Will Levis is garbage. So have fun, Tennessee.
Will Levis is garbage as well. And going back to the third team in our division, that's not us, the Texans, just learned that Stephon Diggs is out for the season with a torn ACL. Non-contact play.
Yeah, it was kind of, as soon as it happened, I saw the replay. Yeah, he was definitely, it was torn ACL. But, yeah,
it was like James Wiseman and his Achilles injury. I don't know if you saw that, but that was very obvious. He ruptured his Achilles
Wait, that happened this weekend?
No, that was a couple days ago. It was middle of last week, I think. James Wiseman.
I did not see that. No, I did not see
That was
James
like the second
Wiseman.
game of the season. He ruptured his Achilles. You could tell.
I did not see that. No, but
But
yeah, no.
Anyway, yeah.
It sucks because the Jags could have, if they just won the games they should have won, they'd be in contention for the division. They'd be up with the Texans, and they're not. So it blows my mind. We are 1-1 against the division. Great. But I mean, we can still kind of make a run, but we need to win a game or two. But yikes, this is not good.
You gotta steal one here real soon. I'm looking through the league. Us and Carolina are the only one. I'm sorry. We have two wins.
We have two wins.
Us and Tennessee are the only one win teams. You got a lot of two win teams though, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dolphins, we should have beat them. The Patriots, we did beat them. The Jets, we will beat them. The Browns, we should have beat them. I hate that we're a lot of these teams like only other win. The Raiders, we should beat them. The Giants, we could beat them. The Saints.
The Saints, we should beat them.
Just sad, everything that's happened with them. They just can't stay healthy.
No, hang on. There's no sadness about that. They have 86. They're $86 million over the cap. That's their fault. Just blow it up. Start over.
I mean, I just mean like you hate seeing someone get hurt.
Oh yeah, fine. But that's on them for not rebuilding. Like, change it. Enough with this mediocre crap. Like,
ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been introduced to Mike Yashi, he is very blunt and will tell it like it is. I love it. I love it.
Stupid. $86 million over the cap, and yet you're 2-6. Here we go. Next year, they're going to be another mediocre-ass team at best.
Well, that whole division is a mess. The mid-Falcons are probably going to win the division because Tampa Bay has now lost their top receivers. So, I don't know. It's a very interesting NFL this year.
You know who could win their division? The Rams, after starting off so piss poor, they could win their division.
They're one game back in that division has four losses, so yeah.
It's up for grabs.
I'm still looking okay with my Bengals under 500, sitting at 3-5 right now, but.
Oh, I think that's a lock. I think they look like
they're 0-4 at home.
Yeah, that's not good. They look bad.
That is really bad. Wow. I just wanted to sprinkle in some more NFL just because it's so hard just talking negatively about our teams for the whole episode. I figured we'd at least throw in some other stuff in there. I do have a question for you, though. I'm not 100% locked in that I'm going to do it, but I want to buy a throwback jersey just because they're beautiful. And, you know, it's the best uniform the Jags have ever had. I'm between two players right now.
Let me guess.
Go ahead.
I guess my question is, are they current or legends?
Oh, no, they're both current. They're both current.
Okay. It's going to be Brian Thomas.
That is one of them.
Okay. And the other one, I don't know if they have them,
You know me.
I would say Logan Cook, but I don't know if he's one of them, but no.
Same vein, though.
Same. Oh, you're getting little. That's funny.
So you can go on shopjaguars.com and you can pick any player that's on the team. So literally, I could get a Jake Funk shirt.
I thought you would have gotten a Logan Cook one because I feel like that's something that's up your alley, too.
Well, I know. I'm debating. He's on my screen actually right now. I can't show you my screen, but he is on the screen, too. He is a dope punter. I don't know which one I want. Should I make it a poll?
I mean, to be fair, if you put a poll, everyone's going to say Brian Thomas. Let's just be real. Because kickers can be replaced. Kickers have one bad game, two bad games, they're gone.
They're cooked.
Cooked, exactly. Like, we saw Scobie a few years ago. Scobie was a legend, and he had some bad games. We shipped him off to Pittsburgh. He stunk it up even more, and he was out of the league.
But, you know, Scobie jerseys are still iconic when you see him around.
Yeah, now, but, like,
yeah.
Little's a rookie. He could have a few bad games and
out. I mean, yeah, I know. That's why I'm scared about him. That's why I feel like Logan Cook is a better pick. I don't know. Because everyone has a BTJ jersey or, you know, like, because, like, the popular ones are always going to be the offensive guys. And then the two edges.
Why don't you just pay up for a custom? Have your name on it.
I don't do that.
You know, I hate that idea. I mean, yes, I know it's two times the price or three times, but like I feel like it's a lifetime investment at that point.
It's that much more to get.
I'm pretty sure it's custom. It's like custom's like 350 or something like that.
No, but... no. I'm literally looking at it right now. It's 169. I could do jersey number 69 and put in Manzi. And
you sure that was more for some reason?
It's still 169. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, I guess if I got the really, really like fancy one, I want the preview to come up so I can see Manzi 69. It probably not gonna look because I've been on this. Oh, it did! It did! Oh, that's so cool.
You might get it now, aren't you? That's funny.
69 actually looks pretty good on that throwback jersey. Those numbers look nice. Well, I think we've exhausted all the silliness today. I think we'll just end with an ad read and get out of here. Is that cool with you?
Yep, that works.
So, Nerdy Nuts is our wonderful sponsor. It is Halloween season. They have released a lot of delicious Halloween flavors. Skylar hinted at the sponsorship partnership that they made last week. You were off the call at that point, but he said it was a TV show that rhymes with Blueby Blue or something like that. It's like, okay, well, everyone knows what TV show that is now. But Shaggy would be eating these delicious flavors. I'm just going to focus on two flavors this week because there's a lot that have been released, but the two most popular ones, in my opinion, Monster Smookie Peanut Butter. I think that one was out last week, but they redid it because it was so popular. It's butterscotch peanut butter layered on fluff and toasted marshmallow Graham Mallow cream, topped with rainbow chocolate covered gems, aka M&Ms, and s'mores clusters. That sounds amazing. Like,
I love s'mores, so that definitely.
Yes, this is one a part of their indulgence line, which means basically you should eat this with a spoon. And the other one is one that we've actually talked about on this show before. It's called Oatmeal Frosted Pie, which is an oatmeal cream pie, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's brown sugar cinnamon peanut butter layered on old-fashioned oats. Then they add a scoop of sweet frosting to top it off, mix it all together, and you got yourself essentially an oatmeal cream pie. And it's delicious. Eat it with an apple, eat it with on a sandwich, whatever, however you like. Be sure to use our promo code DIMES10 to receive 10% off your purchase. And we would greatly appreciate it because, you know, I think we're less than 60 days until Christmas. And if you're looking for a nice stocking stuffer or just a unique gift to someone, Nerdy Nuts is the answer. So get yourself some Nerdy Nuts with promo code DIMES10. Mike, is there anything positive you'd like to end the episode on today?
Just breaking, not breaking, 20, 30 minutes ago, 40 minutes ago, whatever. Jaguars are signing former Bears running back / receiver and return specialist Velus Jones Jr. to the roster because of all the injuries. Yeah. So, yeah, this is, yeah, whatever.
Well, I guess that's sort of positive. I'm going to end with Blake Hantz. Yeah, gets elevated from the practice squad. And Jake Funk has been released from the practice squad. Wow, I was just talking about getting his jersey and he gets released. my positive thing is going back to the NBA, Paolo Banchero with a 50 burger, 5-0 in a win against the Pacers with Tyrese Halliburton, who talked trash about us in the offseason. He deserves to hold that L for as long as he can possibly hold it. I'm very happy with this team thus far, 3-1, and I'm hoping for an amazing season. Mike, go ahead and end it because you're smiling about something.
The Simpsons will be coming to Monday Night Football on December 9th. I saw that yesterday. I'm just now seeing this tweet come across my timeline. Bart and the Bengals versus Homer and the Cowboys. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, that's all I got to say. So,
is it going to be like Nickelodeon? Like that?
I guess. It says Simpsons Fun Day Football is coming to Monday Night Football on December 9th. It'll be Bart and the Bengals versus Homer and the Cowboys.
Well, I can guarantee you it'll be more exciting than whatever the broadcast was last night, because that game was boring as heck against the Cowboys and Giants.
Dude, the jokes come December 9th. Homer Simpson's a better coach than Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys.
100%.
So, cue it. Call it now from October 29th.
For episode 117 of Dimes on Duval, presented by Nerdy Nuts, he's Mike Yazzie, I'm Keith Manzi, signing off, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
See you.